M15, number 1B.
Then you come to the 6,000 year period, which would run from round about 1000 AD up to now, 2000 AD. It is illustrating the sixth day of creation. The sixth day of creation is the day of truth, of knowing the truth, God being conscious of himself in his wholeness. And actually then, when we look at into history, we can see that from round about 1000 AD, the investigation into what is true began, free thought began, and there was a great search for truth individually, collectively. Universities were formed, and then very soon there was research work being done in the Renaissance in the line of science, and that unfolded constantly over the last 500 years in a bigger and bigger research, and therefore more and more everything was seen from the point of view of scientific investigation, the discovery of scientific laws and its application in technology and so on, so that finally at the end of that 6,000 year period we have the science of life, the science of Christian science, that rounds up that whole 6,000 year period. And now we are at the turning point where the 7,000 year period begins to become or announces itself, where a completely new aspect tries to precipitate itself upon the Western world. It's the idea of the universality of God, the universality of being, of the integration of everything, of uniting all into one, that sense of love which includes all, and therefore ask for an integration of everything into a harmonious one. We don't know yet very much because we have not yet seen the signs clearly, but the first touch of it we already get of that motherhood of love. So this would be the great overall picture, and I think with what I have said up to now, more or less in a big way, you could see that these thousand year periods really are bringing out one day of the Lord, and that it takes in human history, because of the human resistance of the human mind, that it takes a longer time so that until the idea really can break through ignorance and resistance. But nonetheless, in spite of resistance, it can demonstrate and manifest itself. Now this would be just the overall picture. But as we have seen, the 7 days of creation, they have subtones. And these subtones are most important because they help us really to see the step-by-step progress and the linking up to the next thousand-year period. So what I'm going to do now is to take those thousand-year periods in more detail. And I start with the first thousand-year period, running therefore from 4000 BC to 3000 BC. Naturally, these dates are only they are not exact. We cannot expect that actually at the end of a thousand year period, just there when we have New Year's Eve, see, and the bells are ringing, that then everything changes right away. Yes. Now, let's see again the first 1,000-year period. We have seen the first 1,000-year period is what, as a whole? Mind. What is mind? It is really, let there be light. It is the breaking in of the light in human consciousness, where people began to think about the Creator, about who is the Creator, what is the Creator. And so all the stories that are shown there are symbolizing really the idea of creative ability, of the creative power, symbolized through the first record of creation in its spiritual sense, having its impact as uncovering a false sense of creation, but it's still creation. It is therefore mind, the intelligence of mind, which is then awakening mankind out of the Adam dream. You get again the dreaming, the counterfeit of mind, and to push that light into full light, like Enoch. Enoch was translated at that point, so he began to fulfill the 7 days of creation. A whole story about the generations, about the begetting and the begets, so as to really expose the belief in material creation, material progeny and material ancestry. Because mind as the creator has no ancestry, has no material generation, it's just that one impact that says, I'm the creator and I create all. This period as mind is shown first from the standpoint of mind, then of spirit, and then of soul. So we get the subtones. And so we get the finer line of what happens in that first 1,000-year period. What happens at the point of mind as mind? Mind as mind was naturally that point, let there be light versus, and the mist went up from the earth. Light that was uncovering its opposite, darkness, ignorance. It is that mind, that intelligence, which analyzes the Adam dream, as we have seen, and shows the exact counterfeit of the second record of creation as a counterfeit of the first record of creation. And what is exposed here through mind is the nakedness of that Adam dream, the nakedness which shows that this Adam dream is not built on ideas, whereas mind as mind says mind creates only in ideas and not in dream stuff, and not in mortal mind stuff, and not in human opinions. All that is here already brought out. Then the tone goes further to mind as spirit. And in mind as spirit, we have the struggle between those two records. We have the struggle between Cain and Abel. And a warfare. You know that spirit leads the warfare, that spirit knows no struggle. So the very opposite is that if we have not found really mind as mind, that mind is a true idea, then mind as spirit comes and says, and this idea is the only idea, it is the reality of everything, therefore there is no need for such a struggle. But until that is seen, we have to struggle between those opposite sense of creation. The Cain creation as the first degree, the Abel creation as the second degree. And so that struggle went on until a purification could take place, mind as spirit, a purification took place, where it was shown that really Cain was going out from the presence of the Lord. And dwelt where? And from that point on, we have mind as soul, where now things became very definite, where those two aspects of creation lead to, namely it showed that the false aspect of creation had just one record to show, that it went into the land of naught, of restlessness, of wandering, bewilderment, of dreamland, and stayed there. So that's the record of mortal mind. But on the other side, you know, mind as soul in the days of creation was showing that it is showing the true record. So here you get then suddenly the true record of creation through the line of Seth. The third degree, the third son of Eve. That Seth had a son called Enos, not Enoch, Enos. And of Enos it was said, then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Can you see? Now he has seen the vision, mind, of calling to the Lord, of a real identification. Soul always names and defines and calls what is right. So he began to call upon the name, can you see, the soul sense of the Lord. He was presenting the third degree, namely the true creation, and then afterwards the seventh son in the line of Seth was Enoch, and naturally the seventh meant that it is the perfect record of creation and the fulfillment of the true record of creation in human history, namely he walked with God and he was not, for God took him. And you can see it gives the first sense of resurrection, of true resurrection, in the line of creation. Mind as soul. Mind, the true spiritual record through Seth, leading where? In the seventh generation to being taken away from God, by God, and he was not. He was no more corporeal. He was now spiritual. So this is a beautiful illustration of what we had in the first day of creation, where we just had, let there be light, and second, a spirit, and the light was divided from the darkness, and then third, that light was called day, and the darkness was called night. Here we have a wonderful illustration in the third, mind as soul, that the light, that the darkness, Cain, was called night. He went out into dreamland, whereas the day, the light, was called day, namely the light of creation that was symbolized through the third son of Seth in its seventh generation, was accepted by God, and he was no more material. He resurrected his sense of creation. That covers the first 1,000-year period. The second 1,000-year period is that second day of creation. What do we have in the second day of creation? Just let us repeat that quickly. It was showing, really, let there be a firmament in the heaven to divide the waters above from the waters beneath. And God made that firmament. He made an understanding how to divide it and how to discern what is good and evil. And third, spirit, the soul was showing that that firmament was called heaven, was a heavenly state of consciousness. How does the second thousand-year period illustrate this process as human history? It is shown through the Noah story, and there we really get a very beautiful sense of what happens if we do not really have a firmament that separates properly. Namely, the very first incidents which we have, that's now spirit as mind, where it says, let there be a firmament between the waters above and the waters beneath. Very often the Bible and also our human experience usually first shows forth the counterfeit and not the fact. Here he showed first what happens if we make no such a distinction, because the story runs first so that it says that the sons of God were taking the daughters of men, and the outcome were giants on the earth, real monsters. Can you see what they say? If we take the divine, namely the sons of God, and mix it up with the daughters of men, with the material, then we get something gigantic. Giants on earth, monsters on earth. Every time, therefore, where we try to mix up the spiritual with the material, something goes actually powerfully wrong. It is illustrating also what we had in the second stage, in the second record of creation. You know, there it was that God formed really man. How? He really formed Adam, which was also such a monster. He formed it also of that duality, namely out of the dust of the ground, the material, and the breath of life, the spiritual. So here this story was reiterated by showing that the mingling of spirit and matter really doesn't lead anywhere. And so the salvation of that for those monsters and those giants were Noah's vision, Noah's vision of the ark. So at that point we get the Noah story, and if we take the definition of Noah from the glossary, we see wonderfully the tone of spirit expressed, a spirit as mind expressed. Mrs. Eddy explains Noah as what? As the knowledge, mind, as the knowledge of what? Of the nothingness of material things, and on the other side, and of the immortality of all that is spiritual. So Noah is that knowledge, mind, which can really see the distinction between the material and the spiritual, namely to see that the material is nothing and that the spiritual is the real, the immortal. So Noah was that type of consciousness which is necessary for us to see that we must make first a distinction what is real and what is not real. With that kind of understanding and knowledge, Noah could build an ark. Mrs. Eddy explains the symbol of ark and says, what is an ark? And again you hear the tone of spirit, namely it is the understanding of spirit. Second day. The understanding of spirit, destroying belief in matter of its opposite. It is a So it gives us a symbol again of the separation really between good and evil, between spirituality and materiality, that he Noah took, he really chose the good. He chose that very ark which says, I want to have the somethingness of spirit and not the nothingness of matter. And so he took in his ark all the spiritual qualities. Everything on earth, so to say, he took in into his ark. Then we have spirit as spirit, where we begin to see that Noah enters the ark, he enters, so to say, into the substance of reality. He made his understanding and the substance of reality one thing. He filled his understanding with spiritual qualities, with the true substance of everything. And that led him finally to the point of spirit as soul, namely the ark rested on Mount Ararat. Mount Ararat means holy ground. Can you see in the second day of creation, at this point, from spirit to soul, the text says that really this firmament was called heaven, holy ground, so that one can see if one has really taken in into one's consciousness only the true ideas and the true qualities and has pitched the ark. See, this is a wonderful symbol of pitching the ark, namely to make pitch is there again the line of demarcation which one draws so clearly that nothing wrong can enter, that no water can enter the ark. So our consciousness is that ark, it's the understanding really of spirit, and pitching that understanding so that nothing material can enter. If nothing can enter and can really stand the test of 40 days, then we land somewhere else from where we started. We end in heaven, on Mount Ararat, on holy ground, on the highest point of his land. So it gives us also a sense that spirit, the soul, resurrects us to a higher state of consciousness. Within that second year period, thousand-year period, we have also at the end of that period the story of Babel. And you know, Babel again was giving an illustration of the opposite of it, really the illustration of the counterfeit of it, namely Babel. Mrs. Eddy calls Babel a kingdom divided against itself. Can you see a wonderful counterfeit of the firmament? It is a kingdom divided against itself instead of having a clear distinction so that nothing can quarrel with the other one. There is no struggle in spirit. There is only purity of spirit. There is no warfare in spirit. There is no battling in spirit. If we fill our consciousness just with ideas, we cannot battle with an opposite because we do not know an opposite. And so we are really building an ark, but the counterfeit of it is the Tower of Babel, where we have a knowledge that is divided against itself, which cannot stand, see, which will not stand. It's not the state of heaven. It is material knowledge again. Can you see the second step in the second record of creation where it was said that God planted a tree in the midst of Eden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So Babel also symbolizes that tree of the knowledge of good and evil of knowing both spirit and matter, of not being able to distinguish between the spiritual and the mental, the materially mental, the humanly mental, to not to be able to draw these wonderful distinct line of demarcation, what is material, what is mental, what is spiritual. So only then when we do that, we can understand each other. But if we don't do that, if we mix up the material and the mental and the spiritual like they did in Babel, they couldn't understand each other anymore. And there was just chaos and not heaven, as seen in the second day of creation. Yes, so that would be the second 1,000-year period. So you can see, if you read these stories in the Bible, actually then we should not read these stories as stories, so that we can tell the grandchildren a nice story when they go to bed, or tell a nice story in Sunday school or anything like that, but that we read these stories always with our categories of being. That we read not stories, but that we read mind as mind as spirit, mind as soul, that we read afterwards spirit as mind, then spirit as spirit, the ark, and then spirit as soul, and we get the definiteness of spirit, the reality of spirit. We are lifted right above matter at the point of Mount Ararat, and are no more in that Tower of Babel. They too wanted to build up to heaven, to the highest sense, but on a dualistic basis, and they never could do it. It was just chaos.